You're not alone as you witness for Jesus Christ, for the Spirit of God is with you to empower and make your witness fruitful in the spiritual harvest. Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Again, he said, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." His great mission on earth, by his own testimony, was to seek out and save sinners who were lost from God. Now, the person who walks with God in day-by-day fellowship and service will be involved with Christ in seeking and saving the lost. It must be understood, therefore, that one of the steps in a walk with God will be speaking forth the gospel of Christ. Now let us review the path over which we have traveled in these studies. We have sought guideposts which indicate the nature of the life which one walks with God. We have seen he who walks with God will stay close to the Bible, will maintain the practice of prayer, will meet him in public and private worship, will commit his life to the service of God, will be a witness to salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, let us investigate that last proposition. The Christian is under divine orders to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now that makes the obligation plain, doesn't it? Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men." Human language could make it no plainer. We're under orders to be witnesses. Christian conduct is based on that solemn obligation. Paul wrote, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." Christian conduct is a vehicle of Christian testimony. God is manifest through his people, so Jesus prayed for the spiritual unity of believers because of the witness it would bear. "As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Do you catch the motive? Twice Jesus said, "That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, that the world may know that thou hast sent me." Yes, the reality of God is to be expressed through the witness of his people. Now, witness is a key term in understanding the early Christian church. The term is translated from a Greek word spelled M-A-R-T-U-S. That's the common word for witness in the Greek New Testament. Jesus used it when he said, "Ye are witnesses of these things." He used it again when he promised, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." The disciples used it, explaining the necessity to elect one to take the place of Judas Iscariot in the apostolic band, one to be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. The disciples used it when challenged concerning their preaching, saying, "We are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." The basic Christian obligation was felt to be a faithful witness concerning Jesus Christ. The early Christians were so committed to that testimony that they were faithful even to death. So the term martus became changed to martyr to indicate one who gives his life for his faith in God. Now, God does not give responsibility without enabling. So listen to the words of the risen Christ. "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that the inspiration of the Old Testament scriptures might be confirmed, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now that is the message which Christian witnesses are to bear. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now there's the solemn obligation laid upon believers. And behold, Jesus said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. There is the divine enabling which the believer needs to be a good witness for Jesus Christ. God requires nothing of his people that he does not supply. Someone has well said, there is no demand made upon me which is not a demand upon Christ who lives in me. He provides all he requires. The power of God upon the witnessing Christian is not given for man to manipulate as he deems best. Divine power is never turned over to mortal man. Jesus said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. The Holy Spirit is the power. He does not give power apart from himself. He lives in the believer and supplies power as it is needed. In fact, to be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be controlled and empowered by him. You're not alone as you witness for Jesus Christ, for the Spirit of God is with you to empower and make your witness fruitful in the spiritual harvest. The Christian is a witness to a world that can be changed. The world is in desperate need of Christians who share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Examine Acts 2. Some ridicule the disciples who spoke in foreign languages on the day of Pentecost, saying, these men are full of new wine. But when they heard the preaching of Peter and were convicted of the Holy Spirit's power, they cried, men and brethren, what shall we do? A mocking mob was turned into praying converts as 3,000 people were added to the company of believers on that day. The world can still be changed when Christians witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at the growth of the early church in Jerusalem. In Acts 1:12, there were 120 believers. By Acts 2:14, there were 3,120. By Acts 4:4, there were 5,000 men in the Christian company. By Acts 4:32, there was no numbering, just a multitude believed. By Acts 5:14, believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. It has been estimated that of the 200,000 population in Jerusalem and the surrounding country, some 100,000 became Christians. Growth of the Christian church in Jerusalem proves the power of God accompanies the witness of the gospel. Christians are under command to be witnesses of God today. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature so as to make disciples of all nations. The command is the same divine authority under which Jesus worked during his incarnate ministry on earth. The divine obligation is accompanied by divine enabling. You, as a Christian believer, are qualified to do all that God commands. Be a witness today and every day. Father, thank you for the priceless privilege of knowing you personally and of sharing our faith with others. Thank you that the Holy Spirit makes our witness effective in bringing people to personal faith in Jesus Christ. Grant that this study of how to walk with God through prayer, Bible study, worship, service, witness will bless all who share these words and make them better Christians for Jesus' sake. Amen.